Headline News by Matt McBride. Gordon's plan to murder his wife was the result of three unconnected events, which all occurred in the space of a week. The first had been when he saw the headline on the front page of their local newspaper, the Donegal Post: Couple in Suicide Pact Tragedy. Gordon had felt sorry for the teenage couple. Forbidden by their families to meet because of religious differences, they'd taken their own lives in a fume-filled car. His wife, Dorothy, had been visibly moved by the tale of unrequited love that led to their sad demise. The second had taken place the following evening during one of their frequent arguments. Dorothy had said they'd be better off dead. It wasn't the first time she'd made such a pronouncement after several double whiskeys, but Gordon hadn't taken any of them seriously. The third had just occurred, as he was in the barn, cleaning out his old pickup truck. Gordon discovered a hole in the floor under the carpet on the passenger side. It was obviously a hole with a purpose, because it was plugged with a small rubber bung. At first, he'd wondered what on earth it could be for. Maybe to let water drain out if the truck was flooded. But while he examined it, an idea germinated in his mind. Gordon sat in the truck, idly poking his finger through the hole, and thought about his life. He was still only in his mid-50s and in good health. But Dorothy was making his life a misery. A few years earlier, Gordon had grown bored with his dead-end job, and had longed for a change. He'd harbored a dream of a rural life, ever since reading Thomas Hardy's novels at college. He'd eventually talked Dorothy into selling everything they owned, to buy a small holding in Ireland, sight unseen. He'd insisted that Ireland was both affordable and beautiful. But the novelty of the countryside had soon worn thin. Dorothy hated the animal smells that always lingered around the farmhouse. The constant bleating and bellowing of the few sheep and cows they owned drove her crazy. She detested the rats that always scuttled around the yard. But most of all, she hated the weather. The constant rain that turned the ground into a sea of mud. Since coming to Ireland, she'd suffered from crippling arthritis, due to the damp. She was in constant pain. And, of course, it was all Gordon's fault. The farm was remote, so Dorothy had made no new friends. She considered their home little more than a prison. A cold, damp, depressing prison. So she'd taken to drinking. She could easily finish a bottle of whiskey in a day, claiming it was her only escape from her pain and loneliness. Gordon had borne the brunt of her bitterness for years, and he'd had enough. With his plan fully formed, Gordon found a length of plastic tubing that would fit through the hole in the floor of the truck. Then he replaced the carpet, and coiled the rest of the tubing next to the passenger seat. He could already visualize the headline in the Donegal Post: Local farmer devastated by wife's suicide. Gordon's opportunity came much sooner than he expected. That same evening, they had a terrible argument, and as usual, Dorothy declared they'd be better off dead. This time Gordon rose to the bait. He leapt to his feet dramatically, and agreed. He insisted they do it right away, just like the young couple in the headlines. A suicide pact in a fume-filled car. Dorothy was stunned, but couldn't back down. After all, it was her suggestion. She asked Gordon several times if he was really willing to do it. When she was finally convinced that he would, she became unusually reflective, and Gordon told her he was going to get a hosepipe to fit the exhaust of his truck. The cab of the pickup had a sunroof, which Gordon slid open slightly to insert the hose. He was busily stuffing an old blanket around it to seal any gaps, when Dorothy appeared with an almost full bottle of whiskey and two tumblers. "Shame to waste this," she said grimly, "we might as well have a little party." Gordon shrugged his agreement. He hated whiskey, but didn't want to make her suspicious by refusing to drink it. Gordon had parked the truck with the driver's door nearest the entrance to the barn, so Dorothy made straight for it, then allowed Gordon to help her in. They settled themselves in the cab, and Dorothy placed the tumblers on the dash. She filled them both, then picked hers up. "Well, here's to the wonderful life you've given me," she said. Gordon bit back his response, and took a deep drink of the whiskey. It was horrible, but at least it gave him some Dutch courage for what he was about to do. He handed his wife the keys and told her to start the engine. As she did, he felt down the side of his seat to make sure he could reach his breathing tube. As exhaust fumes began to fill the cab of the pickup, Gordon glanced at his wife in the seat next to him. She was taking frequent sips of the whiskey. "Come on. Down the hatch," she urged. "It's the last drink we'll ever have together." Gordon complied, shuddering at the taste of the unfamiliar spirit. The exhaust fumes made his eyes water. He tried to hold his breath, and noticed with satisfaction that Dorothy was breathing normally. Then she started to snore. Gordon half turned in his seat, and felt for his breathing tube. He sucked fresh air into his lungs, but the movement disturbed Dorothy. She lifted her glass, and uttered a slurred cheers. Gordon had to drink more of the disgusting whiskey, but at least he'd been able to take a breath. Then, to his annoyance, Dorothy filled the glasses again, and offered hers to be clinked. One for the road. Gordon was obliged to drink even more, and he began to feel the effects. Gordon held his breath and tried to relax, but was immediately assailed by a stabbing pain in his stomach, and an overwhelming urge to vomit. He clapped a hand over his mouth, knowing that if he was sick in the truck his alibi would be blown. The authorities had to believe he was asleep in the farmhouse when his wife committed suicide. Any clues to his presence in the barn would be disastrous. He managed to control himself until Dorothy began snoring again, and he was able to breathe through his tube. This time she did not wake, and he crouched in the murky exhaust-filled gloom of the cab, listening to her breathing diminish, as he clutched his convulsing stomach. After a few minutes, Dorothy's snoring stopped, and the glass fell from her limp hand. Gordon pulled out his breathing tube, fumbled the rubber bung into the hole and flattened the carpet. Then he opened the door and stumbled out, remembering to keep hold of his glass. The sudden movement almost made him vomit, but he fought it back. He had to get to the bathroom, no, the kitchen. It was nearer. He couldn't leave any evidence around the barn. He staggered across the yard to the house, surprised that the combination of whiskey and carbon monoxide should produce such a painful reaction. But, he had accomplished the perfect crime, and could enjoy the rest of his life in peace. At last, he reached the kitchen door, and headed for the sink where he could be sick with impunity. He was almost there, when he noticed the crumpled sachet on the floor. As soon as he saw it, he was filled with dread. He swiped it up, and through blurring tear-filled eyes, he read the warning printed in large block letters. "Deadly poison. For use only against vermin. If ingested, seek medical help immediately." Now he knew why the whiskey had tasted so bad. Gordon knew he had to call for help urgently, if he wanted to live. But first, he had to be sick. Shaking from a combination of pain, weakness, and fear, he hauled himself to the sink and threw up violently. Then, amongst the mess in the bowl, he recognized the smashed remains of their mobile phone, his only means of contact with the outside world from their remote farm. Gordon gasped in horror, realizing he had no way to get help in time. He collapsed to the floor and curled into a ball to ease the agony. His sight fading, he was left with one last vision in his mind's eye, and that was the sensational headline in next week's Donegal Post. He could guess what it would read. "Wife poisons husband, then takes own life, in shocking murder-suicide."